This is Filter. I'm Paul Rice, and I have with me, I believe, Ian Hanna and Elsa. Is it Elsa Galt? Is that how it's pronounced?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Galt, yes.
Galt. Good. Yes. I like it. Powerful. Powerful last name. And Hanna, too, is also a powerful last name. So,
well, it's actually Hanna. But,
oh, God,
but
I messed
that.
It up. Okay. Well, man, you know, I'll do better next time. But it's still powerful. It's still so strong. And thank you both for being here as part of our we're spotlighting UGN and the Give Jefferson program right now because so many entities need our support. And I know you guys are probably ready to talk about that a little bit as well. But before we get into that, let's just get introductions real quick. So, Ian, you are here today representing Olympic Angels. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And can you tell us a little bit about what Olympic Angels is?
Absolutely. Olympic Angels is a relatively new nonprofit here in town, actually part of a national network. So we're serving kind of the North Peninsula. And, you know, our mission is basically to walk alongside children in the foster care system and their caretakers. And we do that through intentional giving, relationship building, and mentorship. So think of it like community-supported foster care. We're basically there to recruit, vet, train, and support volunteers to really wrap around and provide full family care for foster families. It's, you know, fostering is the hardest job in the world, and it's exceedingly hard to do if you don't have community supports behind you. And really that work is grounded in making sure that every child in the system has someone that is watching over them wherever they go, really developing a deep and affirming relationship with that child, because on average, a child in the foster care system is going to move 7 times in 2 years.
Wow.
So making sure that someone is really linked to them, watching over them, being their someone is just critical. So that's what we do, and we'll talk about more of the details later.
Elsa, you are here representing Foster Supports of Jefferson County. You're on the board there, but you're also an active participant, I believe. Is that correct?
That's right. We have a very active board of 8 people, and Foster Supports of Jefferson County has a very similar mission as Olympic Angels. We're community-supported wraparound care for the foster families, and we try to meet needs as they're presented to us, and we've managed a clothing closet. We've started about, I think maybe about 8 different things, and some of those are based in relationships with organizations already in our community, like the Recyclery and Olympic Angels, and we helped start a program called Office Moms and Dads, everything geared to supporting the foster family who's doing the hard work. And many of our foster families are also relatives caring for children, so we do both of those things.
That's great. And I don't know if you either of you were prepared to just sort of talk about UGN and Give Jefferson and kind of what's leading us to talk today, although I hope we talk again and not just in this context.
Well, I'd love to begin with the Give Jefferson connection because it was an amazing organization that helped us get started, just even with some meetings with our board to try to help us do different things as we work together. And then we applied for a grant a couple years ago and started the program Kicks for Kids, which Give Jefferson, we were one of its giving organizations, and we were thrilled to have that happen. And if we didn't have that, our foster kids would not be getting brand new shoes from Quimper Mercantile. So Give Jefferson has really been the driving force, I think, for many of our nonprofits in this county.
All right.
Yeah, that's just what I would add there, Paul, is that, you know, this is really about the whole human services ecosystem and safety net in Jefferson County. And I just want listeners to really hold that thought, right? These are the organizations that collectively ensure robust human services for Jefferson County, and that's just so critical, especially right now.
So, and currently, both of your organizations are being supported on givejefferson.org, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
So you can go to givejefferson.org if you would like to participate. I know that they have actually a pretty neat, useful interface there, and it's you can donate to all the groups, or you can pick and choose which ones you really want to earmark your money for. So pretty useful interface there. So let's just get started, I guess, and we can just kind of round robin this, because I feel, well, maybe you could help me understand. Your organizations kind of work in tandem and are essentially support groups that help foster parents be the best they can be, and, you know, really support them in what they're doing. But you're not actually like you're not the specific organizations helping foster parents find children or fostering children. How does the mechanics of becoming a foster parent work in regards to your organizations?
Yes, I'd be happy to start with that. The Department of Children, Youth, and Families, in the new building out around the first roundabout in town, that is the state organization that actually takes the child into care through our superior court system here in Jefferson County. And they're the ones that have actual caseworkers that follow that child through the process and placement into a licensed foster care home or with a relative. So that's how it starts. And what Foster Supports does is we get permission from the family that has this child in their home to be involved with them. They sign a permission form that says, yes, we want Foster Supports to help us. And then in that process, we're able to assess, well, what do they need? And like, we have a new foster family in town that needed help putting some beds together and dressers together because their child was coming very quickly to be placed in their home. So we found volunteers to plug in there and help them do that.
That's great. And, go ahead.
I would say, you know, pretty similar for Olympic Angels, Paul. You know, most of these cases do generate within DCYF, as the agency is known, and we'll get referrals from a DCYF caseworker. We'll get referrals from a foster family itself, sometimes from a church or another civic organization that knows a family really needs some more help. And then, you know, one of the most important parts of our work is, you know, we'll have this base of volunteers that are being trained up and really understanding the full suite of resources out there. And then the critical piece is matching them, you know, making sure that you're going to have a volunteer group and a family. They're going to gel. They're going to have some common interests and that, you know, the capacities of the volunteers are well suited to the needs of the family. So that's really honestly the heart of Angel's work, is making the right match. We have case managers on staff that do that work.
Let me ask you this for a layman, you know, somebody who's lucky that I've never had to go through this system or really even had that much exposure to it. When we think about foster children versus children who've been adopted, I mean, what's the primary difference there? And I guess to follow up on that, like, you know, how often are foster children, do they find themselves being adopted by parents or by their foster parents?
Well, that's an interesting question, Paul, and it's a pretty complicated one, because when a child enters the foster system due to abuse and trauma and neglect, they first start out, generally speaking, as what we used to call a ward of the court, but they are a dependent onto the court system. And in order to become adopted, they have to be free and legally free for a family to adopt them, and that's a long process. The biggest thrust is to try to return children to their biological parent. So there's a lot of emphasis on the DCYF side of this work, is to try to help the parent be able to mitigate that trauma that they've put their child through and be able to come back and be a really good parent again. If that doesn't happen, then the system keeps going, and eventually it may end up that they terminate the parental rights. Then that child would be free for adoption. So that can take anywhere from a year to 5 years sometimes. So that's a long process.
And that's just me, like, not
and
thinking.
And I don't know the figures.
Yeah, but just, you know, I had never really thought critically about that before. And it's so the foster system in many ways is about returning children to parents that have basically rehabilitated their ability to parent in one form or another.
That's right. That's right. And in our foster supports group, as well as with Olympic Angels, foster support started first in Jefferson County, and Olympic Angels was an outgrowth of that. So what we really try to do is support the child wherever they are. Say they're in a licensed foster home for a little while, they may go to a relative, and then they may be returned to their biological family, all done by the caseworker at DCYF. And we follow them through that process. So they continue to get services even when they're back with their biological family. Or if they get adopted, we try to help.
Wow. So and then it sounds. Go ahead, Ian. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to add one thing. You know, I think what's been really exciting about the last couple of years with these two organizations and this particular emphasis on this community, this fostering community, has been turning on awareness, doing exactly what we're doing right now, and kind of bringing more light to this issue and how difficult it is. What a challenge it's been for the few foster parents that we've had over the years, and really focusing on trying to change outcomes. You know, both the local and the national outcomes in the foster care system are quite frankly terrible and are a moral outrage for anyone who's taken the time to really look. You know, a kid that ages out of foster care within a year, 50% of those kids are either incarcerated or homeless.
Wow.
That kind of tells you all you need to know. So this is all about wrapping community around these kids before they drift into a litany of other problems. And not only is it, you know, something that we approach from the heart, you know, being the right thing to do, this is an incredible cost savings for society, because when a kid, you know, gets to the end of their childhood and is thrust out into the world with no support, they begin to cost millions of dollars. So there's, you know, there's both a heart and a head to this work, and it all boils down to the community really taking responsibility for the kids that have come into our collective care. Those wards of the court or wards of the state are literally all of our children now. If they are in dependency, they are all of our responsibility. So that's it's a recognition of that fact, and both organizations are working really hard to just educate people and get them excited about helping, because not everyone can foster or adopt, but everyone can help the life of a foster child.
That's great.
No, somehow.
Yeah. So, I definitely, in the second half, we're going to have a little musical break soon, but I want to talk more about the specific programs and how they work, and then sort of all the fun COVID pivots that I'm sure you've had to do, how that's changed your work. But before we get into that, I'd just like to ask how each of you personally got involved with this issue, because I'm sure it just wasn't in a vacuum. How did you find yourselves being motivated to take on this work and make it a part of your life?
Well, I was a clinical social worker and worked a lot with children and families. When I came to Port Townsend 25 years ago, I started working some with juvenile department and then eventually became a guardian ad litem with our court service here.
And what's that, and that, Elsa, for those of us who
that
don't know?
Is, yeah, a guardian ad litem is appointed by the Superior Court when a child becomes dependent. And that is a volunteer position. It's through our juvenile department, and you do court. You're the eyes and the ears of the judge. The judge can't go out there and meet all these kids, so the guardian ad litem gets to know the child, the family, the grandparents. They get to know the school teachers, the daycare providers, and then give a picture of that child to the court and help make recommendations as to what that child needs.
So for you, it was a personal...
So I was that for a while and realized there is not enough support for our foster families in this community. There weren't enough of them. We were sending children all over our state rather than taking care of them here. So the fire was lit, and then eight of us started forming a board, and we've started this nonprofit. So we just keep going.
That's great. That's great. So this was you and some acquaintances, friends, started this organization because you saw a lack of resources.
That's right. Wow. And they were mostly guardian ad litems in the beginning that started working on it, and then we recruited other volunteers. So now we just have one GAL on our board, and I just do full time with foster support. So.
Well, Ian, same question to you. How did you get involved in the foster care system? Where do you find your heart here?
Yeah, well, a big part of it for me is I'm an adoptive parent, so there's definitely a lot of parallels in the adoption community and in the foster community, and overlap, obviously. But really, I have to give credit to my wife, Morgan, who, along with Elsa, was a guardian ad litem, and was really the two of them just had a tremendous amount of fire for this issue, and helped get foster supports up and going, and then Morgan, kind of kept on the warpath and said, how can we bring more relational support to families and kids? And did a lot of due diligence around the country saying, where are models that are actually working? And she found this group in Austin, Texas, Austin Angels, that a couple years prior had started creating chapters, basically a national network around the country to bring the program model into other areas. And, to make a long story short, that's why we decided to create Olympic Angels. My background is in nonprofit management consulting and, kind of accelerating the impact of nonprofits. So it was kind of a logical choice to bring me in and help guide the organization in its early phases. We're just about a year old, and we'll hopefully be hiring an executive director in 2021 and really, getting durable infrastructure in place. So most of what we've done has been because of a very active, very generous working board for the last year plus.
Oh, this is great. Thank you so much, both of you, for being here, talking to Elsa Galt from Foster Supports of Jefferson County. And Ian, now I have like trepidation, because I'm like, I know I've said your name correctly before, and I'm like, okay?
You just gotta go with the hard A.
Hannah.
Hannah. The woman's first name.
Yes. My niece is named Hannah. I don't know why I wanted to say Hannah. Well, no, her name's Hannah. See, I don't even remember my niece's name. Oh yeah, this is bad. Obviously, I'm sorry if you're listening, Hannah, but you're probably not, because you're. You don't even know what the radio is. Just kidding. Just teasing. I'm allowed to tease my niece. And we're talking about the foster care system and foster support systems that we have in Jefferson County. Two agencies that have some crossover, but you do relatively different programs to support folks in some ways, right? And I guess that's why I want to talk specifically about what sort of programs are available, and start with you, Ian. There's something called Love Box that I saw online, but I didn't quite understand how that works. So maybe you could intro Love Box and any of the other programs that the Olympic Angels is administering right now.
Sure. Yeah, I'll start, and then Elsa can follow up. So, Olympic Angels is really simple from a program model standpoint. We just have two programs. They're both involve getting volunteers involved in supporting foster families and or foster children. The first is called Love Box, and Love Box is a metaphor, right? It's creating a container to hold that family in. A container filled with love, and sometimes it translates into a literal box of goodies coming once a month or so. But what a love box is a group of community volunteers, oftentimes that already have a pre-existing relationship. So, a book club or golf buddies or, from a particular business. And it's that group of people that are committing to a specific foster family and supporting them, walking alongside them, giving them whole family care for a minimum of a year, no matter what happens, right? And a lot of things can happen in the foster. So it's really about commitment, committing to love a stranger in many cases. And it's very interesting to see how it is. Creating new threads in the social fabric of Jefferson County. You have groups that are from North Beach matched up with folks down in Hadlock, or people from Morgan Hill with folks down in Chimicum, or, these relationships that didn't previously exist. And what we find every single time is that when the focus is on making sure that this child who has gone through, things that none of us want to think about but really happen in the world, when the focus is on making that as healthy and productive and as healing as possible, people do really beautiful things. They turn on the love tap, and it makes all the difference in the world in terms of whether that child is good, whether that placement is going to be successful, and whether that child is going to start to heal. And this is all grounded in a whole body of literature related to relational healing. That when you've been through trauma or neglect, the way you come back out of it is through the quality and the consistency of the relationships you have. And for someone to be able to do that, they really have to have at least one healthy, enduring adult relationship in their life. In learning about all this, realized that this is what happened to my own father. When he was growing up in Kansas City in the 40s and 50s, He was born to a teenage mother. She couldn't really raise him. Father was not in the picture. And he went through a lot of neglect and abuse in his early life. And it was a woman who was not even a relative, sort of a grandmother figure, who was, 4'8" and just a consistent sanctuary for him his entire childhood, on through teendom and into adulthood. Sally McGee, she lived to be 105, so I knew her well. Mm. But I never realized that she was his someone until I understood this program model. Wow. So it really brought it home. The only other thing that Olympic Angels does program-wise is a program called Dare to Dream, which is specific to teens. And it is all about connecting mentors with teens to help make sure they're achieving really necessary life milestones before they age out of the foster care system, because that can really be a cliff for a lot of kids. That's why they go into homelessness or become incarcerated, because they don't have these really essential life skills. Things like getting a driver's license, graduating from high school, having a plan, knowing how to apply for a job, really basic stuff. But again, that program is also grounded in this notion of a deep and affirming relationship to make sure that child has someone no matter what happens.
I love it. And just one quick follow-up question on that, Ian, before we go over to you, Elsa. The idea of the intentional giving, that's not just like giving donations. It's giving presents. It's giving things that kids need. It's about physical manifestation of love, as well as the less physical. Yep. I don't know what I was looking for.
It, Yeah, it may be material. It may be more about time. You know, we like to say that kids spell love T-I-M-E, and it's really customized to the family. You know, some families do have material needs. I mean, you know, we have a longtime foster family in town who just got a dishwasher for the first time with several kids, and it's just going to be a huge time saver there. But it just depends. Sometimes it's, you know, sort of pre-COVID, it was more about transportation in some cases. Respite care is often a really important priority. So, you know, giving the parents a break, particularly if there are really intense behavioral issues that wear the foster parent down, that can make a huge difference in a placement enduring, if there can be sort of a relief valve with respite care. So it just really depends on the family and the situation.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing all that, and thanks for the work that you're doing. Elsa, Jefferson Supports, or Foster Supports of Jefferson County, what are some of the programs that you want to highlight here for our listeners to know more and perhaps get involved?
Okay, well, it's very interesting because we really dovetail a lot with Olympic Angels, because like one of their love boxes, one of their Dare to Dream mentors got in touch with us to find out if we could help one of their kids who had just gotten a job. She needed a bicycle. So Foster Supports of Jefferson County had a program for about somebody had given a donation to get children moving around during this COVID time. So we made a relationship with the Recyclery, and through that program, we were able to get this girl a bike so she could get to work. So anytime that we can help out with Olympic Angels or with the Department of Children, Youth, and Families, like that particular organization, we tried to help get a program going called Office Moms and Dads, where a volunteer goes in to the office when a child is in there and just plays with the child while the adults do the hard work of trying to figure out what to do and what will happen with that particular child. So Foster Supports is often about finding a resource and then making sure we have that within Jefferson County. Our clothing closet was in bad shape in a storage facility that the department was trying to monitor, and foster parents themselves tried to get it together. Now Foster Supports has two volunteers on our board that run that clothing closet, so it's almost all very new and very gently used clothing, where when a family needs something, they get in touch with us, and we deliver it to their home at this point. Another particular thing we did was when we got that Kicks for Kids grant, we realized that children were being put in used shoes, and nothing's worse than a pair of shoes that somebody else has worn that fits their foot. So what we wanted to do was to get an arrangement with Whimper Mercantile to sell these shoes to our kids at a reasonable discount so that we then pay the bill. So they end up taking a voucher to Quimper, getting a pair of shoes, and walking out with a shoebox under their arm, brand new. Other things we've tried to do is get the swimming pool to give swim passes to our kids. So we've been very, very involved in trying to hook resources up with our families.
This is so great. I want to remind all our listeners that you can go to givejefferson.org and support both of these, both Olympic Angels and Foster Supports of Jefferson County. And they're counting on your support this year, so please don't forget to go to givejefferson.org. And just last question as we're wrapping it up, everyone's favorite 2020 question, how has the COVID-19 pandemic you know, changed the operations of I think about Olympic Angels was only a year old. So pretty much most of your life has been in the pandemic, and Foster Supports. I mean, you sort of rely on meeting people, you know, and providing your services directly. What are some of the changes that have happened? And how have you had to pivot to deal with them? Let's just continue with you, Elsa, since we were left off with you before.
Okay. The first thing we did is our 8-member board divided all of our 31 families up so that each family's getting a call from one of us very regularly. And the families are thrilled to hear our voice and be able to just talk or tell us something they need. School performance has been one of the biggest problems for our children, and we're working with, of those 31 families, there's about 50 kids we're talking about in various stages of fostering by relatives or in foster homes. And what we're trying to do, and we've already started, is asking the kids how they're doing with a Google form, asking the parents how they see their child doing, and now we're asking the teacher. And we right now have 8 children that we are starting to put in this program, and we're finding out that some of the hardest things are being distracted or needing a quiet place to work at home. So we're going to be trying to figure out, maybe we'll end up giving everybody headphones or something to silence their cat, so that they can pay attention to what they're trying to do. So we're really in there trying to understand what's going on and then try to solve it with them.
That's great. And what about for you, Ian?
Yeah, we actually had been programming in 2019 as well with the help of the Seattle Angels chapter. So, you know, we've been doing this since March of 2019. I'd say the COVID situation definitely affected how our volunteers are able to interact with their families. You know, they're just with all the constraints that you would expect. But in terms of our organization, it really hasn't had a terribly detrimental effect. You know, we're still recruiting volunteers and families on the pretty much the same pace. I'd say the only real thing that we've noticed in terms of impact is that prior to COVID, each family was getting an average of about 50 volunteer hours per month. And because of the constraints on transportation and respite, that number has gone down to about 40 hours per month post-COVID. So, overall, it's been relatively manageable, and people are really adaptive when these volunteers love these kids and these families this much, they find a way just like family. You know, really, they become proxy extended family, like aunties and uncles. And when there's love there, they're going to find a way to take care of people. So,
well, Ian,
been pretty good.
Any final thoughts or shout outs for us today as we wrap up our segment?
Yeah, I do.
Well, actually, we really hope that. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say one thing I do want to do, Paul, is just recognize someone who has passed in, who is really a legend of the foster care community in Jefferson County, and that's Jean Nolet, who passed away in October. Jean fostered nearly 100 children over 30 years, along with her husband Paul and the rest of their family. She was the old guard of Jefferson County fostering, along with a few other families. It's just a tremendous loss and an incredible legacy of fostering. So there's just so much gratitude in so many lives for the work that Jean and Paul have done.
Yes. Thank you, Jean Nolet.
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Jean Nolet.
Elsa, any final thoughts or shout-outs as we wind this down?
Well, the shout-out is for people to donate to Give Jefferson.
Yes.
And to recognize what a viable operation Jefferson Community Foundation is in trying to help all of the nonprofits here in our county. And we really thank you, Paul, very much for highlighting us today. It's trying to bring the community into the foster system is our main goal, really. And you're helping that happen. So thank you.
Well, I learned something today, and thank you for being patient with me not really having too much understanding or experience, you know, with the system. So I hope that folks, if you're inspired to get involved, you go check out some of these organizations online. You know, just Google Olympic Angels or Google Foster Supports of Jefferson County, and go to givejefferson.org to donate money this holiday season, and you know, support these foster children, these groups that support children who are basically going through a pretty rough time and need all the help that we can provide them. So thanks again to both of you for being here, and we'll hope to have you again soon.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right, take care.